So I want to read to you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And this, what I'm going to talk to you about tonight is, who is your favorite preacher? And something, I think something funny happened, because I was going to minister this last week, but the Lord moved, much like he did tonight. And I just heard in my spirit, don't go there. So I didn't. But tonight, I'm listening for the same thing, and I really hear I'm supposed to bring this word to you. And so I'm going to do that. But what the funny thing that happened, I thought, was I gave them the title last week, who's your favorite preacher? And they put it on social media. And the way it is written, it says, who's your favorite preacher? And right underneath it, Lee Shipp, First New Testament Church. And I'm like, that is not what I intended. That's just like not the way it's supposed to go. So I don't know what it's going to look like with this, but I think you're going to get very quickly my intent in that title. Okay. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brothers, could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, verse 7, very important. So then, neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Now, he that plants and he that waters are one. They're together. They're not against each other. They're on the same team. That's all he means. And so they are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds upon it. And no other foundation can no man lay than that is which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And so I wanted to talk about this for just a moment. We're going to read a couple of other verses from two other epistles in just a second. But I wanted to bring this out to you just in regards to instruction and teaching. I'm not bringing this to you tonight as, you know, to say, hey, we're all carnal, we're all babies, we're all immature. That is not my intent. My intent is to stress to you and to hopefully give you an appreciation of those who minister the word of God to us, and that we can value and appreciate the variety of personalities that the Holy Spirit uses to preach and to deliver and to minister his word. Now, I say that because we, in our carnal sense, we would immediately begin to put into our life those who are our favorites. And I don't think you do that. I'm not accusing you of doing that. I wanted to say that there are wonderful things that God wants to give us. And when Paul is saying to the Corinthians, now they're filled with the Holy Ghost. They have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They don't lack any gift, the Bible says. And they had powerhouse ministries come to their church. They had Paul, they had Apollos, they had Peter, they had Jesus. They had these really great people ministering in their church, and they divided themselves over these particular ministries. And people were identifying themselves with that particular leader. And so Paul says, listen, Jesus is not divided and we're not divided. Don't look upon people as though they're anything. Whatever we do, and Paul speaks for himself, he says, I minister out of the grace that God has given me. He's different than Apollos. That's what he's saying. I'm different than Apollos, but we're on the same team. We're preaching the same Jesus, and we're both depending upon Jesus Christ to move supernaturally to give life to his word. Apollos doesn't give life to the word. Paul wouldn't give life to the word. Peter wouldn't give life to the word. We plant, we water, but it is God who gives it the life. And I want you to always have a heart and a demeanor that can appreciate those who minister the word of God to us. Because if you will appreciate God's ministers and you will depend upon the Holy Spirit to minister it to you, then the Holy Spirit will produce life in you regardless of who it is that's preaching or teaching. Now, some people might be very excited. Some people might be excitable. Some people might run, jump off the stage, spit, do whatever. Others might never leave the pulpit. Some might come and sit down. Gary Wilkerson is very unique, but so refreshing, but very different. And those of you that had the opportunity to hear him that night, I heard many comments about how wonderful that was, how different. I wasn't expecting him to be like that, because we would value, and I think rightly so, that we would value David Wilkerson, his father, this incredible servant of God who thundered like a prophet for so many years and affected nations. And, you know, if this is David's son, then he's going to certainly minister in the same kind of vein. And they are totally different from one another. But they're both anointed of the Lord. And life comes out of their ministry. And I want to say that to you, that God is the one who brings the life out of his word. Now, obviously, there are things that a particular person may have who is more relatable to you, right? They're just more relatable to you. Oh, I get that person. When they talk, I understand them. Or I like the way they communicate, because when they communicate, I really get it. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing wrong to be able to say, I can really get something. But if there's a particular person that is ministering the word of God, and they're not as easily understood, they're not so relatable to you, don't check out. Don't check out. Just because of the way a particular personality is delivering God's message. Stay focused and in tune, realizing they're planting or they're watering, but God's going to give it life. You know, one of the things that I thought was so unique about the ministry of B.H. Clendenin was he never took a breath. And he would just, and he would not always finish his sentences. My wife does that too. She doesn't always finish her sentences. And so he would just be right in the middle of preaching, and then he would go on to something else. And I mean, he would preach for an hour or more, and it just never takes a breath. It's astounding. It's powerful. You know, it's powerful because it's just hitting you. But when you would leave, it would be hard. Like, oh, I couldn't take notes fast enough, and I can't recollect everything that he said. But then I would realize about 3 months later, something that he said that night was speaking to me 3 months later. And it was because it was spiritual. He sowed something into my life, and at a moment in my life when I really needed it, the Holy Spirit brought it to life. And it was there for me. And it was real for me. And so I appreciate, our friendships that we have in this church and the relationships that we have with people. And I appreciate the people that we're able to be able to bring in here and speak to us, and Felix and Andrew and Joe and Evan and myself and others. We're different from one another. But isn't it beautiful how the Holy Spirit can work through our personalities and the unique things about us and yet show us Jesus? When I was young, about a week ago, I guess because it still happens, you know, I feel like, you know, sometimes I'll come and I'll preach a message and I'll preach it again and I'll preach it again and I'll preach it again. And man, I just exhaust everything I can possibly think of to preach it. And it's just like a dud, you know, it's just like, I don't know what to do. I really want them to get this, but I don't know what to do. And a guest speaker will come in and a guest speaker will preach the same exact thing that I preached. And people will say, I've never heard that in my life. And I would be like, I would be so depressed. I've been preaching that for 6 weeks. How can you say that? And so that's why I said last week, because I still have all this pride in me. But in all actuality, the Holy Spirit helped me to really appreciate it, because he showed me that there is a team, there is a body, there are Apollos and Pauls and Peters, and they're all necessary. And let's not divide ourselves into particular camps and say, oh, well, you know, if they're coming, well, I'm going to just sit out on that one. I don't really particularly like them. And you will miss what God wants to sow into your life. And so I want to encourage you with that. I want to speak that to you. And I just want to talk to you about really understanding the manner of preaching. For just a moment, I want you to understand when the Holy Spirit is really preaching through somebody and ministering through somebody, and he does this. I don't want you to try to, you know, perceive it in some particular person. Just know this is what the Holy Spirit's doing, and it may not hit you right there. It you might be driving in your car on the way home and say, "I saw Jesus." I mean, Jesus was made real to me in such a beautiful way. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is always going to magnify Jesus. And he's going to stir up love in you. And so I want to read a couple of scriptures, if I can. And these are the only other two that I'm, well, yeah, these are the only two I'm going to read, and then I'm going to talk about one. So I want to read in Romans chapter 12. And I want you to turn there with me, and I want you to read this with me. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. And the Bible, I'm going to begin in verse 9, because, first of all, if this is the way the Holy Spirit's going to minister, I believe this is the good soil that he can minister into. Romans 12, 9. Let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil. Loathe all ungodliness. Turn in horror from wickedness. But hold fast to that which is good. And that's what you have to hold fast to, the good things the Lord gives you. How many times has God spoken to you? Maybe just gave you a nugget. But by Tuesday, you lost it. That's a tragedy. These are spiritual treasures. So hold fast the good things that the Lord has given you. Let your love be real. I've really come to this conviction in my life that I would much rather be able to demonstrate God's grace than to simply preach it. And I've been around a lot of people who preach it, but they don't really demonstrate it. They're one thing in a pulpit, And they're completely different when they're out of the pulpit. I would rather demonstrate love than simply be able to preach love, because anybody can do that. But I want you to understand that real preaching is not simply the declaration or the proclamation of something, but it's the Spirit of God demonstrating it through our life. You're going to see that in just a second. Because I want you to see the passion by which the Holy Spirit is operating to you as a listener. You have to grasp this. That's why you see past the particular person who's speaking to you. And the Holy Spirit's going to show you Jesus. But you got to know that, because your faith has to be set on that. So let your love be the real deal. And if it's not the real deal, talk to God about it. And ask the Lord, I want my love to be sincere. I want to really love people. I want to really care for people. He says in verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection as members of the same family. Give precedent and showing honor to one another. Listen to this. Never, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. How many of you on any given day would attend a church service, or maybe you would attend a Bible study, or maybe you would attend a prayer meeting, and you're just blah, right? You're just blah. That's just the flesh. The Bible is telling us, don't lag in zeal. Don't do it. Don't lag in your earnest endeavor, because you're a spiritual person and your spirit is ready. And the flesh has to be overcome by the Spirit. Many times there have been testimonies that have been given about, particularly on a Wednesday night, how people were just really tired. It was a hard week. It was a fight to get to church. They were just even wondering if they should go. Maybe I should just go home. But they fought it. They broke through. They came to church. And they would say, man, by the end of church, I was so glad that I came, because I was spiritually renewed. I was spiritually refreshed by that. And so even when it comes to the preaching of God's word and the ministry of God's word, take your zeal and let it burn in you. Be earnest to listen. Be earnest to write and take notes, or however it is that you can hold on to what is good, and serve the Lord. And that never lagging in zeal, be in an earnest endeavor. I love the way the Amplified says it. It says this: be aglow, which is to be on fire, or burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. One of the chief things that I find myself doing is always trying to take my own spiritual temperature. I don't want to be cold. I don't lie when I am cold. I'll talk to God about that. I want my heart to be broken open. I want to be in His presence. And oftentimes, just exactly what we did here tonight. And I'm going to tell you, there was just an entrance of His presence here tonight. I know that many of you that were spiritually perceptive could sense that. And God was just really moving in here. I will oftentimes do that by myself. I will oftentimes go into my prayer chamber and I'll read my Bible, and I might put on a little worship or something like that, and I'm saying my prayers, but I'll take a spiritual temperature of my heart, and I'll just say, you know, I'm just going through the motions. My heart is not in this. And I'll turn that music off, and I'll get on my knees before God, and I'll just begin to praise Him. I might open up a psalm like Psalm 63 or Psalm 91 or Psalm 27 or some other passage in Isaiah, and I'll just get on my knees and I'll open the Bible and I will sing my song to Jesus. Has no rhyme to it. It has a reason, but it has no rhyme to it. It'll never be a top hit. But I'm going to tell you, God enters into it. And my heart is set on fire again. Those of you that want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we don't exercise our zeal or our earnest endeavor to be with God, and we just allow ourselves to be cold, and we're not exercising ourselves in faith to stir up our spiritual man, being filled with the Holy Spirit is so easy. It's not a difficult thing. But we make it so difficult that we think we got to climb Mount Everest to get the Holy Ghost. And we don't. We just have to, in faith, just do what the Bible says and worship the Lord and sing to God out of our hearts. And the Lord will overflow in our life. Verse 12, rejoice and exalt in hope. Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people, sharing in the necessities of the saints. Pursue the practice of hospitality. I'll just say this, I won't say too much. There's a little group in our church, and I know there are other groups in our church that do this. But there's just a little group in our church of a few people, and they get together, and they just kind of say, who's suffering? Who's suffering? And they'll take note of somebody in the church that's suffering. They said, okay, let's all engage ourselves and help them. And they help each other to minister to one another in the body of Christ. That's just beautiful. Distributing to the needs of God's people. Pursue the practice of hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, who are cruel in their attitude toward you. Bless them. Do not curse back. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Share in others' joy. And weep with those who weep. Share in their grief. Feel it. Let it touch you. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty, snobbish, high-minded, exclusive, but readily adjust yourself to people and things and give yourself to humble tasks. Never overestimate yourself or be wise in your own conceits. Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is honest and proper and noble, aiming to be above reproach in the sight of everyone. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not let yourself be overcome by evil, but overcome, master evil with good. And that is such good instruction. That is such good instruction. Now, the reason I read that, you might be thinking, how in the world does this tie to who is your favorite preacher? And the reason I read in Romans chapter 12 these passages, these verses of Scripture, is because I would rather be able to live that than somebody make some kind of remark or some kind of, you know, attention to the kind of preacher that I might be or someone else may be. What is it worth if we have the skill of oratory and we have the ability to say wonderful things, but our life doesn't testify to this? And so I want us to say, and I want us to believe, in the way you can pray for preachers, the way you can pray for them, is that their life would be a demonstration of Romans 12, that there would be real and sincere love, and that we would respond as well, overflowing and burning with the Holy Spirit, because that's when your heart is ready to receive the love. And that we, not just preachers, but all of us, would bless people and not curse people. And that we would not be overcome with evil, but we would overcome the evil with good. And we would do good things and kind things. That we would turn enemies into friends. Because you don't want to have enemies. You will, but you don't want to. Now, the last scripture I'm going to read is in Galatians chapter 3. And this is the preacher, and he's shocked, he's amazed. And I believe the reason that the church in Galatia came to this place is because they did not take heed to the just simple instructions of Romans chapter 12. Now, I'm not saying that Paul came and preached Romans 12 to the Galatians, but this is the message of Jesus, Romans 12. This is our life as Christians. And so in Galatians 3, Paul is really wounded. He's really hurt, and he has a reason to be. And it wasn't because he said, you went to my school, or you graduated with a diploma, and now you're believing something false, because they were believing a false teaching, a false doctrine. It was so serious that the Apostle Paul was afraid that they were even saved. He is considering the fact that they have fallen from grace, and he's really worried about them. And he knows that I have to minister again, so Jesus is formed in you. But this is his pain. It's in verse 1, and I'm reading again from the Amplified, because it just brings it out in a beautiful way. He says, you poor and silly and thoughtless and unreflecting and senseless Galatians. Think about those words. That's strong. You're poor, you're silly, you're thoughtless, you're unreflecting. That reminds me of something in Romans 12, where it says you're not holding on to what was good. You're not even thinking about it. You've forgotten it. You're senseless. You're not even using your sense. Just even common sense in this. And so he says, he asks the question, who has fascinated you? The King James says, who has bewitched you or cast a spell over you? And this is what his grief is to you, right before your very eyes. Now, this is good preaching, not me, what he's saying here. Right before your very eyes, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was openly and graphically set forth and portrayed as crucified. Now that's a good preacher. The Apostle Paul is stunned by the Galatian church because he preached in such a way that he was able to say to the people there, I demonstrated Jesus crucified to you. Now, what I believe Paul means by that is not in so many words, but I did Romans 12 before your eyes. I was hospitable. I was kind. I loved you sincerely. I was abused. I was cursed. I suffered, but I continued to bless. I continued to be hospitable. I refused to be overcome with evil. I made way for God to deal with injustices done to my life. And I believe Paul was able to demonstrate Christ crucified. I believe Paul was the kind of preacher who wouldn't just talk to you about grace, but he would show you grace. He would give you grace. He wouldn't just talk about mercy, but he would give you mercy. He would show you mercy. He wouldn't just talk about love. He would give you love. He would show you love, not only by what he said, but by what he did. So I close with this story. And it's a story Jesus told about two men that were in debt. One was indebted to the king, and he owed the king $1 million. And the king demanded him to pay his debt. And the man said, I'm not able to pay the debt right now. And the king said, throw him into prison and bind him up and torture him and hold him in prison until he pays me every penny. And the man said to the king, be merciful to me. If you will show me mercy, I will pay you everything. And the king forgave him his debt, forgave him $1 million. And so he leaves being given mercy, and he goes to one of his servants. And his servant owed him $100. And he takes his servant by the throat, and he says, pay me everything that you owe me. And the servant said, I'm not able to pay you right now. And the man said, bind him up and torture him and throw him into prison until he pays me everything. And the man said to his master, he said, be merciful to me and I will pay you everything. And he said, no. And he threw him into the prison. This is what stood out to me. The public in that story. It wasn't the man that was not shown mercy and was thrown into prison. And it wasn't even his family that saw their father and husband thrown into prison. It was the public. It was the people who watched what happened. And when the public saw what happened, they went to the king. And they said to the king, it's not right what he did. You showed him mercy and forgave him $1 million. And he wouldn't even show mercy upon one of his servants who owed him $100. It's not fair. And the king was furious. And it was the public who brought their attention to that. I think sometimes the public gets its voice up into heaven and God hears them. He hears the public. He hears the public saying, it's not right how critical the church of Jesus Christ is. It's not right how cruel the church of Jesus Christ is to one another. They all boast in the grace that has been shown to them and the mercy that has been shown to them. They all boast as if they even enjoy saying how horrible they are and what awful sinners they are. But when they go and find a sinner or another brother or sister fallen in sin, they are so cruel. God, it's not fair the way Christians treat each other. And I say to us, let us take heed to the word of God so it produces life in us. Guard your heart and break open the fallow grounds of your life and take your spiritual temperature and don't settle for a spiritual sickness. A lot of us have been sick over the past week. Look what you do when you're sick. Look at the care you give to a body that's going to die anyway. And how seldom do we take our spiritual temperature? If you get sick and you got fever and you got the flu, you men, you ladies, you're going to stay home from work. You're going to call in sick. You can't function. I can't get out of bed. But when our spiritual temperature is sick, we never think about fasting. We never think about pulling away from everything and locking ourselves up in our bedroom and crying out to God, heal me. Heal me, God, because I'm spiritually sick right now and I need the cure in my life. It's just a good thing to do. And I believe it makes sense to you, even me saying that. It's good to pull away and be with the physician of your soul and your spirit and your body. Would you stand with me? And I just want to give you time to be able to look at your spiritual temperature. And we're going to worship. We're just going to be here before God for a moment. We're just going to worship and let the Holy Spirit lead us and speak to us. There are things you need with God. You know that you need it. Don't lag in your zeal or your earnest endeavor. Burn in the Holy Spirit. Burn. Jesus. And if you're not burning, tell him. And let him ignite the fire in your life and in your heart. Appreciate the ministry of God's word. And pray for those who minister that God's word, that it would be a demonstration as much as a proclamation. And not only for others who minister God's word, but you minister God's word too. And can you say, as the Apostle Paul, I have shown you Jesus crucified. I'm shocked that you've turned away. You saw him. And even in that condition, Paul kept loving them, full of zeal, full of desire.